This is Elena Zulli interviewing goes by on May 31st, 2007 in Bobst Library. Okay, so let's start with your background. Tell me where you were born, when, about your family.
excuse me, I was born in New York City, Beth Israel Hospital. I am the last born out of four children, two boys, two girls. My mom is a single mother. Unfortunately, my dad was, at the time I was born, she was with my dad. Unfortunately, my father was killed in some kind of confrontation with somebody. So I never really knew my dad. I have a stepfather who raised us, who I kind of recognize him as my dad because he's the only father figure I've known. And we grew up in Brooklyn, Park Slope, excellent neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Should have stayed there. I guess that kind of answers a lot.
Yeah.
And I mainly grew up with just me and my sister. My two brothers were actually raised with my grandmother. I believe my mom probably had them when she was really young, so they grew up with my grandmother.
Mm.
It was cool. Like we lived in a household where it was just the four of us. Unfortunately, my mom has a mental condition. She's diagnosed as being schizophrenic.
Mm.
So that was a little weird sometimes. You know, my mom was kind of always in and out of the hospital. When I was born with what's called CAH. It stands for congenital adrenal hyperplasia. It actually means I'm missing an enzyme in my body. My adrenaline gland doesn't produce a certain enzyme. And I was actually also born with ambiguous genitalia,
mm-hmm.
which, as most people know, sometimes I think about it. When I was born, you know, most babies, when they're born, they're like, you have a girl, you have a boy. I picture when I was born, it's like, you have a, okay, wait a minute, give us a second, we'll get back to you. So unfortunately, I was always in and out of the hospital myself, you know, young. I kind of went through a series of reconstructive surgeries, which I think also kind of answers a lot in terms of my sexual orientation. You know, being a lesbian, being butch, you know, based on just my overall appearance. You know, I have, unfortunately, high testosterone levels, which gives me a more androgynous
mm-hmm.
Look, where people could kind of think that, you know, I'm a female, but I'm not quite sure.
Well, you have facial hair, which to many people is a clear indication.
Yeah, I mean, but nowadays with so many, you know, transgender people, like, some people are not too sure whether it's facial hair due to, you
mm-hmm.
know, hormones.
Right.
And, you know, or, you know, the whole transition over.
So were you raised as a girl or a boy?
I was raised as a girl. As a girl, my mom put, God forsaken, little dresses on me and stuff. But I think what was unique about my mom is that she... I think because I was born with this condition, she didn't really enforce a lot of, when we went out, if it was a family event, she put a dress on me, but really I played with cars, Star Wars figures, action figures. I never really had dolls. Like, my sister was more the doll and makeup type. You know, I played with cars, trucks. I was very active. You know, I was always jumping around, you know, just like a little boy, always jumping around.
Mm-hmm.
All my friends were boys. I really never had any little girls as friends. So I think my mom kind of, you know, growing up, which was, I guess, good, she never enforced it on me,
mm-hmm.
you know, except for family events, you know. So I think that was really good in terms of, you know, my upbringing, that I wasn't kind of, you know, forced to be this little
right.
girl. Like, I just grew up as a regular child, you know, just enjoying everyday life of just being a child.
Or to let you find yourself and be yourself.
Yeah, it's funny because I look back and I go, you know, people always ask about, you know, when's the first time you realized you were lesbian? And I think back, and I had to be like 7 years old.
Really?
In the second grade. Like, I used to have a crush on my second grade teacher. And I used to follow her everywhere. Like, you know, other kids would go to lunch, and I never had to go to lunch with the kids. Like, I would have lunch with her. She would take me roller skating on the weekends. And I slept over her house one time, which, you know, I'm 7 years old, and I'm thinking, like, yes, I got, you know, I'm sleeping with this older woman. You know, and then, of course, you know, every now and then her boyfriend would tag along, and I would kind of get mad at him. You know, we'd go roller skating, and I would kind of knock him down because I didn't want him to be around. And then she got married. She announced to the class that she was getting married, and she invited the whole class to her wedding.
Huh.
And I refused to go.
Like, broken your heart.
I was so upset. I was devastated. I was like, oh my God, I just lost this woman in my life. And, you know, my mom kind of was trying to force me to go, and I was just like, no, I'm not going. So I always think back, and I was like, wow, like, that was my first, like, experience with, you know, like, not loving, but being attracted to another woman.
Sure, yeah.
And I guess from Park Slope, we moved to the Lower East Side, which was pretty good. It wasn't that bad, you know, even though we still should have stayed in Park Slope.
Give me a time frame for when you moved.
We moved when I was about 11 years old.
Okay.
So at 11, we moved because the building that we lived in was being sold. And so my mom just decided, you know, we should move. So we wound up moving to the Lower East Side in Manhattan. And it was good there. It was, I think it was also another confusing time because there I kind of developed more female friends. You know, like, even though I still kind of did boyish things, I started having, like, female friends. Like, my best friend, from that moment on, she... You know, we were close. You know, I kind of really didn't look at her in a way that was like, you know, wow, I'm attracted to girls. Like, but all the other friends I did, and her sister.
All your other male friends, you mean?
Huh?
Wait, you mean all your other male friends looked at her that way?
No, I looked at her other female friends like, you know, like, hey, what's up? And it was just weird because she would always get me, because we were best friends, she would always kind of dupe me into, like, you know, going out with a guy, which was, you know, also was confusing because I used to think, well, this is what girls are supposed to do.
Like dating.
Yeah, like dating. Like, she would be interested in some guy, and of course his friend would be there, so it's kind of like, you know, well, I want to be with him, so you got to be with him. And I kind of dreaded it. You know, I think I made a lot of sacrifices for my friend, kind of like going in and just, you know, dating these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it wasn't really until I was probably 13, there used to be a military cadet that was ran by the 7th Precinct. And my brothers, actually, when they were younger, they used to go there. And I wanted to go, so they finally, at one point, they kind of banned girls from being there, I guess because of some altercation, but they started letting them back in. And I went, and it was awesome, because there I met this young woman. I don't know if I can mention her name.
Well, you can opt not to have her name ever released. That's fine.
Well, her name was Selena, and she, you know, she then became my kind of, like, secret gay friend. You know, we both came out to each other, which was cool. You know, like, I was like, you know, I, you know, when you're young, you kind of feel like you know about, you've heard terms, you know, lesbian and gay, but you never, it really impacts you until you actually meet, you know, somebody that's just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like everybody, you kind of feel like you're alone until you meet somebody. And we came out to each other, then we started discovering that there was other, you know, lesbians, and actually bisexuals at the time, in our cadet, you know, which was cool because I felt like, you know, not only was I interested in this kind of military cadet, but, you know, I was also surrounded by, you know, my people. I was discovering a whole new community.
Right.
And I remember when we got on our bikes one weekend and we kind of went kind of girl hunting. You know, we were like, it was like 13, 14 years old. And we got on our bikes and we went to, it was about this time, and we ran into all these gay people, like right around here, actually around Washington Square Park, because we kind of got lost. We didn't know where we were going. We just heard that, you know, there are, you know, gay people in the village. So we, you know, ventured out into the village to go look for, you know, gay people and girls. And we had just missed the Pride Parade.
Huh.
You know, so we're riding our bikes and we see, like, you know, drones of, like, women, you know, and girls and other, like, at first we didn't know what it was until we actually saw. What gave it away is we saw some butch women.
Uh-huh.
So we're like, oh, yeah, we found it. It was like we found our Mecca. And we had, we said, oh, this has got to be it. You know, there are butch girls. So that means there's got to be, you know, girls that we like, femme girls around here. So we proceeded to drive, you know, to ride around on our bikes, and we found these two girls who were 19 years old. Of course, we lied about our age. We said we were like 17 years old. And we, you know, proceeded to, like, kind of walk with them, you know, hitting on them and, you know, just kind of asking questions. And after that, that just became our new hangout spot. And from there, you know, as I started going to cadets, I started going from, my timetable was a little screwed up, unfortunately.
That's okay. If you can clarify what your age, thereabouts, when you...
I would say, like, about between 15 and 16 is when, like, I started discovering the village. And, you know, me and my friends then found out about, because I didn't realize that she was part of a youth group, which was called Project Reach. And in the youth group, they dealt with social issues. That was like kind of my first interaction with a social issue group, where they spoke about not only lesbian and gay issues, but issues around sexism and homophobia and, you know, classism as well. So I learned a lot going there, just also, once again, just being around, you know, an even tighter community where people that are more my age, rather than me trying to perpetrate and, you know, older lesbian trying to pick up older women. And from there we started interacting with Hetrick Martin.
What's that?
Hetrick Martin Institute, which is actually located here on Astor Place. It's probably one of the largest gay and lesbian youth groups. It's also located, the Harvey Milk School is there also.
Oh, I think I've seen that. Yeah. Can you, well, later you'll have to write that for me. That
yeah.
Hetrick Martin. Hetrick Martin.
And at first they were located by the West Side Highway, but where what people call the pier.
Yes.
So they were located there. So Project Reach was actually interacting with other youth groups. So once again, my community, like, I started seeing that this community is a lot larger. And then we started doing work with the YES Group, Youth for Richmond Services, which is part of the Gay and Lesbian Center. So we started going over there and networking. And once I got to the center, I was just, like, amazed. Like, a whole building just dedicated for us. And that became our new hangout spot, you know. So about, like, 16 going into 17, that became our new hangout spot, which was actually the corner of 13th Street and 7th Avenue.
That place I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we used to all kind of, that would be the meeting spot.
Mm-hmm.
So one person would, like, two people would get there, then you would wait for the rest of us, you know, for the rest of the people. So probably like about 6, 7 o'clock, there was about close to 20 young people, gay, lesbian young people.
And you just stand around on the corner?
Yeah, we would all meet up at the corner and then decide what we were going to do, which always resulted in ending up at the pier. So we would trek down, walk down 7th Avenue till we got to the beginning of Christopher Street. And of course, it would take us like 2 hours just to walk down the block, because we would stop and see people we know and stop at stores, you know. And of course, it was all about fashion. Even when I was younger, you know, we used to stop and look at the stores and the clothing, you know. Because back then, there used to be a lot of, I think it happens now, but unfortunately, I'm kind of out of the loop. There used to be a lot of what was called balls.
Balls?
Yeah. They were basically mini fashion shows. That there was small communities called houses that were ran by, you know, kind of, they had mothers, which were predominantly like gay men, and like house fathers, which were sometimes, you know, the butch lesbians, or sometimes there would just be a gay, another gay gentleman that was, I guess, a little bit more butcher than the mother. And they would hold these balls, these kind of mini fashion shows, and people would walk, like literally walk down this catwalk for different categories. So some would run down, some would walk for categories that were called face, which would cover, like, you had a girl face, so some of the most feminine gay boys would walk for that category, or they had what was called boy realness, and some of the butch women would actually walk, and the whole thing was about passing. It was like we had our own little kind of fashion show, which I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, and you may want to pick it up. It's called Paris is Burning.
Never heard of it.
Paris is Burning actually talks about the beginnings of the whole ball scene, which happened like in the early like 80s. And I don't know if you also ever seen that show, America's Top Model,
heard
Tyra Banks.
Yeah.
She actually has a gentleman in there. His name is Willie Ninja. And his house was actually called the House of Ninja, and he was the head mother. And he actually teaches these models how to walk down a runway. So we would go to these different balls whenever we found out, and we would go and we would cheer for different people that were walking for different categories. And, you know, we would go shopping with some people because, you know, you needed to have the latest and greatest clothes.
Uh-huh.
And I think probably I used to have most fun when I used to go with the boys, you know, the gay boys, because they would buy, you know, they would buy these extravagant, you know, dresses, and they would it was so funny, they would buy them and keep the tags on them, you know, because it was so expensive.
Yeah.
And then they would use it in a bar, then have it dry cleaned, and then return the dress.
So would they buy, like, down in Soho, they would get designer clothes?
They would get either in Soho, depending on how much money they had, you know, like, you know, depending on where they, unfortunately, some of them were street workers, mm-hmm. so they would get money that way. Some of them sold drugs, you know. So lots of times I would also go to, we would go and go to different thrift shops. And kind of put together these ensembles of different clothes, which weren't bad, you know. You could find like really hot clothes in a thrift store and still look good. Like, I love thrift stores.
Yeah, me too.
And so we would go and go to these different ball scenes and stuff, and it was awesome.
This is fascinating. Okay, so back up. Tell me more about the houses. Was it like those shelters?
Like, no. They were just like groups. They were just like
social groups.
Yeah, they were just social groups. So you were associated like they were. Each house was known for different. You know, like they would have these. You go to these balls, and they would be like, you know, like the top winners. You know, they would kind of make their own houses. So they were like the best in there. In, you know, whatever category they were. And it was like, you know, I want to call them almost like gay gangs.
Yeah.
You know, where you would belong to a specific house. Like, they had that House of Ninja, they had the House of Pandora's, they had the House of Extravaganza. And you know, there was all these people that were part of it. Matter of fact, have you ever seen Madonna's Blonde Ambition tour?
Yeah.
Where she did the whole voguing thing. And there's three gentlemen that she actually has in there that were part of those houses. And Madonna herself would actually sometimes appear at these mini balls,
huh.
You know, which sometimes would be held at, I've been to two of them one time that were held at the Sound Factory. Back then, the rumor was that Madonna actually owned a part of the Sound Factory. Junior Vasquez, which was a famous DJ and still is, used to DJ there. And she would come, and that's actually where she found some of her dancers from this ball scene.
Hmm.
And they would go, you know, back then there was this whole voguing kind of scene, you know, which people had done in the houses.
Can you explain voguing?
Voguing is a dance style that originated out of the ball scene. And it could be anything from like hand gestures to the way they move, you know, the way they move their hands and the way they would pose. Voguing actually came out of there, and then people would do these moves, these dance moves that were just kind of like, voguing is a I think a cross between dancing and posing.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of a little hard to explain it where it's easier to see it.
Right.
Unfortunately, I'm butch, so I don't know how to vogue. Voguing was more, you know, kind of like the gay guys thing.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't, I'm really bad at it. I tried it one time, terrible. but it was nice. Like, you know, that, I really think that that's where my thing of fashion came from. Like, you know, being around the gay young people and everything was about fashion.
Mm.
Everything was about fashion. Like back then we used to call it, used to be called labels. And there was even a category for that. You walked down this runway for, you know, your category that you were walking for was called labels. And it was about who had the best clothes on.
The most
expensive clothes,
okay.
Or even, you know, the most of the time it kind of fell in the category of the most expensive
mm-hmm.
clothes. Or even, you know, somebody would get a Louis Vuitton, you know, shirt or something, or Versace pants. You know, I'm not too sure how big bootlegging was back then, and they actually really weren't, you
yeah.
know, these designer clothes, but the most of the time they were, you know. But it was good. You know, that actually, from there, I wanted to actually apply for Fashion Industries High School.
Huh.
I was the only person in my junior high school that actually got accepted to Fashion Industries. I actually went in for merchandising because I wanted to design. And I wanted to design, like, windows, like displays. And I think that became also because of the movie Mannequin, where he, you know, created these extravagant window displays. And I could always remember with my friends going and just seeing, you know, the Macy's windows
mm-hmm.
and Bloomingdale's windows, or even the way they're displayed, the way the clothes are put together. Unfortunately, that didn't work too well with me. I got into a lot of fights.
At the school itself?
In fashion industries, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, because I'm androgynous, I used to always get, you know, are you a girl or are you a boy? And
mm-hmm.
guys, of course, you know, didn't like the fact that I think that they didn't know. Or, you know, if they figured out I was a girl, it was like, oh, well, you know, she's a lesbian, she's butch. You know, so that became a problem. So my mom transferred me out of the school and kind of put me in my zone school, which happened to be two blocks away, which was Sewell Park High School.
And this was in the Lower East Side?
Yes.
Okay.
It was the Lower East Side. It was literally three blocks away from my house.
Okay.
Which sucked because I could never cut class when I didn't cut. And that school was good. I remember being there, and I remember there used to be this one young woman that stood out. She kind of stood to herself, and to this day, like, I kind of see her, but really, I know her because of who she is.
Mm.
You know, in terms of knowing somebody from school, but not really kind of creating a relationship with them. Her name was Lee, and she was, like, she made me look femme. Talk about butch. Like, she was, like, butch all the way. And I could remember, like, seeing her, like, get a lot of, you know, like, a lot of, excuse my language, but a lot of shit in school because of, you know, her sexuality and just the way she looked. Like, she had her head shaved, which back then, I guess, really wasn't acceptable for young women, you know. And she used to get a lot of, and I used to feel so bad. And, you know, I used to always want to kind of reach out, but I always felt the whole safety thing where I didn't want to put myself in that position. Because I just felt like I got a lot of shit for just looking to where I was, and I didn't even have a shaved head, and I didn't really be as butch as she was. You know, they kind of just associated with me with being butch because of the way I dressed. I didn't dress feminine. I dressed in jeans, sneakers, you know, t-shirt.
What was your hair like?
My hair was short, kind of the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, like, as fashion started changing, I let my hair grow. I kind of had this Steven Seagal type haircut going on where I had a ponytail that kind of grew back. And I think a lot of that happened because my friend started growing her hair that way. And since we were so tight, we kind of grew our hair the same way.
Right.
And we just continued going in the village. And I remember there was a prom. They had a prom. Because I, unfortunately, when I graduated high school, I couldn't attend my prom. I mean, I could have, but there was the whole thing on, you know, being stared at, what was I gonna wear?
Mm.
You know, like, can I go there wearing a tuxedo and not have to get shit about it, or do I have to wear a dress?
Were there any official rules about it?
There wasn't. I mean, I think there never really is because I don't think they can enforce.
They do it in some states, but I don't know of any here.
In terms of the girls having to dress.
Like, a girl can't go with a girl, basically.
I don't think I was worried about bringing anybody.
Yeah.
If I would have went, I probably would have went with my friend Josephine, which was my best friend that used to make me date boys.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of devastated after she found out that I started, you know, being with girls. And she used to always taunt me with Madonna used to have this song, La Isa Bonita. And in the song, she talks about when a girl loves a boy and a boy loves a girl. So my friend used to, you know, every time that part came, she used to, like, emphasize it. She would look at me and go, when a girl loves a boy and a boy loves a girl.
After you came out to her?
After I came out to
okay.
her. But I think she was just doing that because she was just teasing me. You know, like, she was really cool. I didn't, unlike most people's experiences, I gotta say, mine coming out was a little, you know, I kind of got lucky. Like, it wasn't that hard.
Mm-hmm.
My mom kind of found out because she read my diary, which sucked. I actually left my diary in a car, and one of her friends found it and gave it to her.
Huh.
So, yeah, that was a little awkward.
How old were you?
17 yeah. when she found out, but I think, you know, moms always know.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't put dresses. I don't put dresses on. There's nothing feminine about me. You know, I don't bring guys home. You know, I never talk about boyfriends. So.
Right.
You know, she just kind of did her own little. You know, when I came in the house, she kind of just, not threw it at me. She kind of just, like, tossed it, and. And I can remember when she tossed it because she made this comment, like, what was it she said? She said, here's to your night in heaven or something. Because unfortunately, it was talked about my first sexual experience in my diary.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just kind of, like, frozen when she said it. And that was kind of the only thing she said. After that, like, she never... You know, we didn't sit down and talk about it, you know. It was just kind of like, that was her one little comment, and life just kind of went on. Which I don't know if it's a good thing, but it seemed to work itself out.
Yeah.
And let's see, I think I got a little scattered there
in
the timeline.
Tell me more about, well, when you were talking about the balls, you mentioned what the boys wore. Did the girls, I mean, were the girls involved with it?
Yes. Yes, the girls were, and the girls, I think what was funny is when the kind of femme girls would go against the femme guys for the same category, you know, because they had a girl realness, and even femmes would walk for this category, you know, competing against like these very feminine gay boys. And I think the funniest thing is when the boys used to win.
Right.
And the same thing with like, see, I think the whole butch femme thing is an attitude, or I think, I want to say attitude, you know, or kind of, I think it's attitude, because I think I kind of, you know, put out this kind of very rough, like, attitude sometimes, you know, not so much frail, or even then I think I'm being stereotypical. I don't think all feminine women are frail as well.
No, but feminine does usually imply frailty in our culture, at least. So there were, say, butch women walking
with
balls.
Yeah, like we would walk in, like I would walk for boy realness, and I would sometimes go against, like, you know, the kind of, like, butch gay boys, you know. And it was almost the same thing, like, you know, here's a butch woman, you know, winning this category. You know, that this kind of, like, actual, like, you are a boy and you can't win it. Like, what's up with that?
Right.
And then after that, it kind of faded. Like, you know, the butch boys, after that, they didn't really walk for realness. A new category started coming out. So then they had like B-boy realness.
Mm.
And B-boy realness was all about, you know, a straight boy passing as a gay boy walking this category trying to act straight. Like he would act thug.
Wow.
You know, so he would have the baggy clothes on and the, you know, the Tommy Hilfiger hoodie, you know, the hat. And he would walk and try to pass as a straight boy. And it's funny because he's walking for this category, then he wins, and you see a whole gay boy kind of come out. And it was just fun, like the different. Then it started after a while, it started getting boring because like new categories and things started coming out. And then, you know, there started to be a lot of animosity amongst, you know, people, you know, and then it started becoming a thing where people then started fighting. You know, like you would go to a ball, and I can remember, like, towards the end when I stopped going, like, I went half the time to kind of watch my friends back because a fight always broke out.
Over who won?
Over who won, or a disagreement about who won, you know, or it started coming about things that kids, you know, fight about, like, oh, well, you ain't wearing real labels, like, your labels ain't real, you know, like, you're wearing bootleg clothing, or, you know, because it was such a tight community, sometimes people would sleep over somebody else's houses, or people would be accused of stealing, you know, articles of clothing from each other, you know, so after that, when people started fighting over things, it didn't become fun anymore.
Right.
You know, it was just kind of like, well, I don't want to go see what fight is going to break out. You know, I go there and have fun.
So, you know, gay men, they have their own style, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Their pants are tight. They wear tight little shirts. Was there ever a lesbian style that you could say was analogous?
I would say it was probably the B-boy style. Because it was all about us, like, passing. In terms of butch, like, I could only talk about, you know, femme girls were, you know, femme clothing. They were, you know, tight jeans, tight shirts. You know, occasionally they wore baggy clothes, but they still wore it in a feminine way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would start makeup on. They would wear even the colors. The colors were, you know, feminine colors, pink colors, you know, like pastel, powder blues and stuff. Where the butches were, you know, we wore the big sweatshirts. We had baseball caps on. We wore jeans, you know, sneakers. Then, you know, Timberlands started becoming a new thing, so it graduated to Timberlands. And for us, it was just all about passing.
So your intention was to look like a straight male?
Yeah, we were kind of like, our intention was to pass as much as possible, but still.
Can you define pass?
Like, right now, like, if I wanted to, I could get up and walk in the men's room if I wanted to.
Okay, so pass.
Passing is basically going through the day or going, like, being able to pass as a male.
Okay.
You know, so we would walk into a store and they would be like, excuse me, sir. So we would be able to pass, or being able to, you know, we would go, that's crazy. Women's bathrooms always got lines. Like, we would walk into the men's bathroom and not hear anything
uh-huh.
about it. Like, that's passing, like going through life or going through every day with, you know, just being thought, people just looking at you and assuming that you're a, you know, that you're a male.
Right. And is that something that you want? And have you always wanted that?
I just wanted to always kind of be me. Like, I'm a very individual self. Like, I don't really like labels. Like, I don't like being categorized. You know, like, I like wearing what I like to wear, you know. Right now, all my clothes are male, kind of orientated. You know, I work for an urban clothing company, so a lot of my clothes is, I wear men's clothes. The women's clothes are tighter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like them at all.
Why?
I mean, on me. I think I'm built too much. I'm built too much like a guy to kind of wear feminine clothes. I think if I put on feminine clothes, I kind of like probably a drag queen or something like that. So
you feel uncomfortable?
Yes. Even growing up, I never liked to wear dresses. Now that I think about it, my mom made me wear a dress one time for picture day in elementary school. And I cried all day because at a young age, I started developing body hair. So I had hairy legs, and, you know, I had hair on my arms. And I cried all day because she made me go to school in this dress with these little socks on. So my legs were exposed. And I was just like, it was devastating. Because, you know, kids are cruel. You know, kids say, you know, people would look at me and go, oh, you're ugly, look at your legs, like, you know, I'd be called a beast, you know, and it was just, I hated it. It was so bad. Like, that day was really, it sucked.
Yeah.
It sucked. And then, it's crazy now that we're talking, like, all these memories start coming out. And in the same elementary school, I was actually banned from school unless I wore a dress every day to school because I was so active. Which was another thing. And now that I think about it, my mom could have actually sued because I went to a public school. I didn't go to a private school.
Did they have uniforms?
No.
So
we wore everyday clothes, you know, whatever, like my mom, you know, I had school clothes and I had play clothes.
Right.
You know, obviously my play clothes were probably a little stained and had holes in them. And, you know, my school clothes were nicer and newer. And they forbid me to wear regular clothes. I had to wear a dress. They told me they would not allow me back in school unless I wore a dress because I was too active.
Oh, so they wanted to keep you from being
They bad? Thought that if they put me in a dress that it would keep me from running around and jumping because
okay.
they thought that, you know, little girls, they were like, I was too active for a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did not like the little girls. I would get into fights. I was climbing. I was always with the little boys, never with the little girls. And they made me wear a dress every day, which was another thing that I hated. Like, I mean, I kind of didn't have a choice. You know, my mom, unfortunately, I guess, you know, she didn't know enough to kind of protest it. Mm-hmm. And it was towards the end of the year, so it was probably for like the last 2 weeks of school. You know, I had to deal with it, but I hated it.
It's a creative answer to a solution. So, let's see. Let's fast forward to now. You work in the fashion industry. How many lesbians are there? Are there...
At work? Because I work for an urban clothing company, and I'm talking about urban... I work for Rockwear, which is right up there with Sean John, and, you know, everybody knows Jay-Z, which is, you know, CEO of Rockefeller Records, and unfortunately, you, being gay in an urban society, you know what I mean, is, not to say that it's unheard of, but, you know, you hear, even in lyrics, you hear about, you know, people being, you know, you can't be gay. Basically in urban society. And it's crazy because when I first started working there, I remember this woman who worked in the accounts receivable department. And you could clearly tell she was a woman. There was nothing, you know, she didn't look like butch or androgynous. Like you couldn't look at her and say, is that a woman or is that a man? But she wore pantsuits. Not men pantsuits. They have pantsuits for women. She wore pantsuits. And I remember that they used to call her a shim, which I thought was, once again, excuse me, which I thought was fucked up.
That's like she, him?
Yes. And I used to always, I would say one of the biggest advantages of being androgynous is people always think you're male. Mm-hmm. I could put my ID card in front of anybody, and as much as it says female, you know, they don't look at that. People, you know, sex is not a thing that people actually pay attention to on a card, on an identification. They're kind of always looking at either your name or your date of birth. Mm-hmm. So when I started working at Rockaware, they just automatically assumed I was a guy, you know. And I needed a job. I mean, I actually got the job through a temp agency. Mm-hmm. So I kind of really didn't, because it was a temp agency, I didn't think I was actually going to be there long. So I kind of didn't correct anybody or make a big thing about it. And then even more after I used to hear them say this. And I used to ask, so why do you call her a shim? Like, why do you call her that? And they used to be like, look at her. Look at the way she dresses. And I'd be like, what's wrong with the way she dresses? Like, she has a pantsuit on it. It's not a men's suit, it's a woman's suit. Mm-hmm. And they used to be like, you know, but just look at her, like she's, you know, she looks like a man. She doesn't look like a man, she's a woman. She's a woman wearing a pantsuit. Like, what's the problem? And I would start getting into arguments, but then kind of backed off to kind of not draw. So, and I think the woman was oblivious to it because they would call her a shim to her face, and she would laugh and go, yeah, I'm a shim. And I don't think she kind of knew what they were saying about her. And then she would talk about that she had a boyfriend, and of course they would all make fun of her and be like, oh, you're full of shit, you ain't got a boyfriend. Which was like still, once again, messed up. And so fortunately, I didn't realize it, but I then became full-time. At the time I worked at, when I first started at Rockaware, I worked in the internet department. So I used to basically coordinate what you see on the website. You know, getting images together, coordinating photo shoots with the clothes, customer service, basically everything. And they brought in this new designer. And I remember his name was David Ayala. He was a gay man, clearly gay, flaming as hell. cool guy. And people used to make fun of him. Like, they would joke with him, but of course always joke with him in like a homophobic way. You know, like they would say stupid stuff like, you know, like, oh, how was that dick last night or something like that. Like, this is an urban, like, thing. So they didn't give a shit. Like, there was no biting their tongues. There was nothing, you know, like, the office is clearly homophobic. Mm-hmm. Like, people say they don't have a problem with it, you know, but you hear, like, the responses and the things that they say, the snickering,
mm-hmm.
like, underneath their breath. And he used to get a lot of crap, but I think he just used to joke it off because he was probably making a crap load of money for being a head designer.
Right, yeah, sure.
And then once again, the company just grew, you know, and now I work. I started about 3 years ago working for the internet department, not working for the IT department, because the internet, they actually started outsourcing to a company mm-hmm. called eFashions, which also runs J-Lo's site, BabyFat
mm-hmm.
site. So I was actually going to be let go, and by the grace of God, I was saved by my boss to come and work in the IT department, because Rockaware then started getting big, started mm-hmm. blowing up, started becoming more popular. So they needed more people. And from there, we moved to 1411 Broadway, which is the fashion district. It's the big building. I got the, I don't know if you've seen, it's got a giant button.
Oh, you work with Sonya. Right there?
That's
yeah.
the building I work in.
Ah.
And so we expanded. We actually used to be at 463 7th Avenue, and it became bigger, and then they moved to 1411 Broadway, and staff started, you know, more people, production started getting bigger, design mm. started getting bigger. And there are people that you could kind of, I want to say, you know, when you're gay, you have gaydar, you kind of know, you know,
yeah.
who's, or you suspect, and people just ridicule them. Like, you could, I mean, I always kept it to myself and be like, you know, I would say in my head, oh, she looked like she's gay. And then they used to have this, it was so funny, I think nobody messed with him because he was a big guy. There was a woven designer, woven shirts are like these button-up shirts.
Yeah.
And his name was Leslie, and he was out. He was clearly out, he was gay. Everything about him, like he talked, you could clearly tell as soon as he talked, he was gay. And I think nobody said anything to him because I think they were scared of him. You know,
because he was physically
big. You know, like he was very muscular. He was a big muscular black guy, and he was Canadian. I didn't know that, but it kind of quieted down a little bit because I think people kind of curbed their tone around him because he would look like he didn't. He was a person that you would say something and he would just sit there and just, you know, what we call read, like he would just read you, you know.
What does that mean?
Read is like a gay term in terms of, is a gay word for like telling you off.
Okay.
Like he would sit there, you put his hand on his hip, he would do the whole finger gesture, you know, and it's even funnier when you got this kind of big muscular guy.
Yeah.
You know, like scolding you, like how you probably would see a younger, you know, a petite woman like scolding.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, somebody. And I think he just scared the shit out of me.
Good for him.
Yeah, I was like in the corner, but yes. You know, yeah. But you know, it makes me sad sometimes that I can't be like who I am there. You know, like my biggest fear, I think at work, is people find it out.
Hmm.
You know, and it's come like real close at times that people find it out.
Yeah.
Because we have sample sales. Rockaway has these awesome sample sales. I got mm-hmm. your number, I'll let you know.
Oh, great.
And they open it to the public from like the first hour, it's just employees. And then they open it to the public. And there was this guy who I actually used to go out with his friend when I was younger, when I was kind of going through the why, you know, what am I phase, straight or gay? And he comes to every sample sale.
Does he recognize you?
I don't let him. Like, I've came real close where I've gone in and I've saw him and I kind of turned real quick, like before he could even see me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny, one time I went in to talk to Michelle, which is actually Jay's sister, and she works there, she's real cool. And I went in and I was like, Michelle. And when I said Michelle, he kind of, like, I I saw him like a profile, like view of him, and he went to turn, and when I saw him, I did, like I kind of like ran out of the room. So Michelle was like, Ray, what? And I'm like, nothing, I'll talk to you later.
That's amazing that you have to do that.
Like every sample, like every time we have a sample sale, I avoid like passing.
Wow.
Like the office is huge, so I could kind of get to where I need to go through any kind of like, I could just, sometimes I have to literally walk around the whole entire office mm-hmm. to get to the stairs so I can go up. Or I'll leave and just take the elevator up one floor because we have two floors. So I'll take the elevator up to the next floor where my office is, well, cubicle. And just to avoid it.
Wow.
It's really crazy.
That is something else. Yeah. It's amazing in New York City in this day.
But I mean, once again, I work in a urban culture where, you know, it's really not acceptable to be
right.
to be gay or lesbian. And then all the women in my office are kind of like, you know, there are some attractive women. So, of course, if you don't look like the typical woman, you know, you're that oddity,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it just, you know, sometimes I think, you know, I shouldn't be here. You know, like that's not fair to myself. Like I feel like sometimes I'm not being true to myself because I kind of lead this double life, you know. But unfortunately, I've found a career that I really like, and I've made a lot of contacts.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of put it to the side, as, you know, so I can make my living and get that 30% off a wholesale.
Right. So, how are you doing? Are you getting tired?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
You tired? Bird?
No.
Okay.
I have so many questions. I don't know how much contact you've had with the rest of the fashion industry, but do you think that other places in fashion would be as bad?
As long as they're not urban, I don't think they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's only the urban, like, clothing companies that where you kind of fall into that, you know, that where it's just not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could probably, like, I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure there are gay people in Rockefeller Records. There are gay people in Sean John, you know. Even in the other clothing companies like Echo, probably Nietzsche, you know, there are gay people everywhere. But I just think that it's just, and I feel bad. Like I feel like if they could be who they are and be openly gay at their job, like, I commend them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, you know, I think it's different for men than it is for women.
Explain.
I think the men, because you think about fashion, sometimes you think, you know, if a guy is a designer, he's gay. Used to be, you know, like, he's a designer, he's gay. So it's kind of like, you know, they already fall in that category. And, you know, their stereotype, should I say, into that category.
Right.
So, but I think when it's a woman, it's still, like, I think if it's if she's femme, you know, she kind of just passes,
mm-hmm.
you know. But if you're butch, then you're hit with that whole, or you want to be a man, or you haven't had a guy to give it to you correct, or something. Like, you're just considered, like, odder than odd.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you're just worse than that gay designer right now. Like, we could deal with him. He's gay. We know he's a designer, you know. But you, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
So, but I think there are. I think, you know, I think there are gay lesbians in every single aspect of you know, in fashion. I mean, regardless in urban, I think they're
sure.
everywhere.
You just don't know who they are.
No.
Right.
I wish they did. I wish I did. You know, like, if I could go to a company where I know that there were probably other gay and lesbian people that were out, like, I would, in a heartbeat.
My boss was lesbian, actually. And her partner was the business partner.
Wow.
But that's besides the point. Actually, I think you've hit everything. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Is there anything I was wanting to know?
Let me see. Not really. Let's end there. Okay. Thank you very much. This has been an excellent interview.